should have a behiris, a clarity in our learning, which brings about simcha. I'm learning with an individual, a very special person, the Oros HaTorah of Rav Kook. And so within speaking about the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, or the Braisa in Pirkei Avos of Memches Dvarim, so it's shem to avir b'simcha u'b'tahara. So Rav Kook understands that the simcha stems from tahara, from the concept of tohar, of clarity, of behirus, that when one learns with a sense of understanding in a clear manner, that which was in learning, there's no greater simcha than that can bring about. So that's the Misha Nichnas Adar as well. Okay, we left off at Sif Hei. Beitzim hanimtzoim ba'ofos. We're trying to define the worlds of basar and chalav. So here we have a question: how do we view? At what point does a beitza turn from the world of basar into the world of a beitza? At what point does the iser basar v'chalav fall off of a beitza? Beitzim hanimtzoim ba'ofos inhein gemuros dahenu sheyesh behem chelbon v'chelmon. That we have a situation where there is no shell yet, but that the yolk and the albumen have been already formed. Afal pishahi meura begidin. Namely, we have a certain membrane that holds it together. But before the calcification, before the shell is made and it's still connected, begidim harezo gemura. That's already considered to be a beitza. It's no longer basar, and therefore mutar la ochla bechalav. Avalim ein la chel mon. If all we have is the yolk, asur levashan bechalav, it's still considered to be part of the mother hen. It's still considered to be part of the basar. Okay, the shach al atar in Sif Katan Tes points out that how we have a stira from Siman Pei Vav Sif Dalid in terms of the world of Eiver Minachai, that over there the Machatzei Machaber states that as long as it's Me'ura Begidim, it's still considered to be Eiver Min Hachai. And the Shach is assuming that we should have a uniform definition. At this point, the Shach is assuming we should have a uniform definition for when it ceases to be Eiver Min Hachai and when it ceases to be Basar. And so he quotes two terutzim that were already given by the Balei HaTosfos. The first is that we have a suffix. We're not sure what is the definition when it becomes a beitza. Does it become a beitza when you have the chelmon and the chelbon, even though it's still mu'ura? Or does it only become a beitza when it's no longer mu'ura? So when we're dealing with a din d'oraisa, like Eiver Min Hachai, then we'll be machmir. When we're dealing with an iser drabanan, because here we're talking about a chicken is an of b'chalav is drabanan. And so when we're dealing with the world of basar of b'chalav, which is drabanan, then we can be mekil. That's the first Teirut Satosis gives. The second Teirut Satosis gives is that there is a difference in terms of the nature of the Iser of Eiver Min Hachai and the nature of the Iser of Basar B'Chalav, even had it not been an issue of Doraisa and Drabanan. That Eiver Min Hachai is an Iser B'Chol HaTorah Kula, that we have an Iser Machmas Atzmo. And so we say that as long as it's Me'ure Begidim, then it's still Basar. It, in other words, it's still considered to be Eiver Min Hachai. It still has that shame Bifnei Atzmo. Ma she'ein kein basar v'chalav is not asur bifnei atzmo. It's a created iser. We have an iser of creating basar v'chalav. And so the moment that we have a chelbon and a chelmon, this is not an ingredient to create basar v'chalav. Then we will have a different definition of an ingredient as opposed to the shem etzem of the iser. The shem etzem of the iser will have one criteria. As an ingredient, we'll have a different criteria.
How does that fit in with what we call basar v'chalav is asar min atzmo?
No, that's when you that's when you have the compound. But here we're dealing with creating, you know, with the ingredient. You need basar, you need chalav to create an iser basar v'chalav. When we want to create the iser, so then we're going to have a a different definition. In other words, a kula dika definition of basar v'chalav. We're going to be mekil that as long as it's ma'ur begidin, it's still will have a. Which way does it go? In words, what?
Once it's ma'ur begidin, it's still considered even refined, but it won't be an ingredient.
It will not be an ingredient.
But why should that there be a difference?
He's quoting Tosfos. Okay, you know, it's the Shach over here simply quoting Tosfos. It's a different nature of an Iser. But then the main Teirutz of the Shach is that which he says al pi atzmo, where he disagrees, he breaks. You know, it's up to now we've been assuming that Eiver Men Achai and Basar basically should have one definition. And so we distinguish between Doraisa, Drabanan, whether we're using it as an ingredient, as an Iser Machmas Atzmo. But then the Shach says, ma pit'om, that Eiver Men Achai and Basar should have the same definition. Namely, he's going against the conventional wisdom. The Taz al-Atar quotes the Maharshal, who points out, Maishna, this whole question is the question of the Maharshal, Ma pit'om, that we should have differences in Eiver Men Achai and Basar. That's the working assumption of the Taz in Siv Katan Vav. And we have a long Nekudas HaKesef, not a long, but a medium-sized Nekudas HaKesef al-Atar, in which Nekudas HaKesef takes issue with the Maharshal and points out that l'chora, these are two different terms, that Basar will have one definition, and the moment that we already have a chelbon and a chelmon, the moment we have a membrane, even though it's still ma'ura, it's no longer basar, but it's still considered to be Eiver Min Achai. And the Shach explains why should Eiver Min Achai be more chamur, not because it's Doraisa, and not because it's Yisr Machmas Atzmo, but rather basically everything which stems from the Chai should be considered Eiver Min Achai until we have a Gzeres HaKasuv to take it out of the Iser. And so if we take the world of Chalav, we have a Pasuk, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, that teaches us that we're allowed to drink Chalav, that Chalav is not Eiver Min Achai. But when is it Chalav? When it's Poresh Min Achai. And so similarly, Beitzim, that as long as they are Mu'ure, they are still considered to be Eiver Min Achai, only when they are Poresh, similar to Chalav, does it leave the status of Eiver Min Achai. Namely, Eiver Min Achai, we need a Matir. Mashenkin and Basa, you don't need a Matir, we just need that it have a Shem Beitzim. We don't need a Matir. And so when the egg is still attached, it's no longer Alpidin Basar. But in terms of Eiver Min Achai, it has to be detached. That's the Gzeres HaKasuv. Again, on this point, the Shach disagrees head on with the Taz, with the Maharshal. The Shach brings a powerful raya from the Shita of the Urayim. Even though the Urayim, we don't pass like the Urayim, but from his Shita we see how far Eiver Min Achai goes. That in Siman Pei Aleph, Sif Hei, the Mechaber quotes the Urayim that, I'm sorry, the yeah, the Mechaber quotes the Shita of the Urayim that Mei Cholav is Eiver Min Hachai. Just to give the background, when you make cheese, you take milk and you divide it into, like little Miss Muffet, into curds and whey. The curds are the cheese, and the whey is the liquid which floats above the cheese. In Hebrew, the curds are called gvina, and the whey is called nisyube chalav. Now, when you take that whey and you create a second sedimentation, you again separate the solid and the liquid, so then the liquid of the whey, that's called either mechalav or mechalav. In other words, sometimes the nisyube is called mechalav, but this is the second separation. The second separation is what we're calling either is what we're referring to over here as the Reim talks about as mechalav or meimechalav. Now we have a gzera sakasuv that chalav is no longer Avram and Achai. However, according to the Reim, the moment it is so far removed from chalav that it's a separate entity, it's been twice separated, it returns to Avram and Achai. Namely, that we have this world that even though chalav, the milk, when it's solids and liquids together, is still chalav, even though when it's divided into gvina and nisyube, it's still chalav, in nisyube, and we divide it a second time, we return to the world of Eiver min Achai. We've lost the Gzeres HaKosuv. You can ask, how can that be? If it was Mutter, how does it turn into being Aser? So the Shach over there in Siman Pei Aleph brings a very brings a Raya from the world of Dam. That we know that Dam, as long as the Dam is Dam Eivarim, as long as it's still part of the meat, then it is Mutter. When it's separated, then we turn into an iser, namely that when you cut a piece of raw meat, the dam in that raw meat is mutter. When you squeeze the raw meat and dam comes out, that dam is aser. So you see that as long as something can be part of a larger whole, it'll get the status of the larger whole. When you separate it, then it can revert to a status of iser. So that's what the Uraim. What? Yes?
So the Lamaisa, what is happening? This second way, this second separation is now mixed in with Basar?
No. We're saying that according to the Uraim, it's Avram and Achai. Namely, that we have a different... That not all Cholav is... you can have something which separates out of Cholav, which will be Avram and Achai. So we see that...
It's like an
Isser Doraisa? Isser Doraisa, according to the Uraim. According to the Uraim, it's an Isra'isa of Avram and Achai. So Shach says, you see that we have different definitions. Avram and Achai is a category that unless we have a heter, it's going to remain Aser. And so we could say that the Beitza, without the heter of being Porish, of being separated from the chicken, it remains Avram and Achai. But Basar doesn't have to follow that definition. In other words, it's a unique Chumrah within the world of Avram and Achai. So even though, again, we don't pass along like the Uraim, but you may see, if you go to a home of a brisker, that he will buy a leben, and you'll see that on top, you know, that you have some of the liquid, when it sits in the store, will separate out. He'll pour that off, and then he'll eat, to be choshish for the sheets of the Uraim. That maybe that's a second separation, and that already would have the status of meimei chalav, and according to the Uraim, Rav Elazar admits that that would be a problem. Okay. The Shach then brings another shita. How do we know that a beitza is mutter? What's the gzeras hakasuv? So one is that it's similar to chalav, right? That it's when it's separated. The second is a gzeras hakasuv, which is found specifically by a beitza from an implication that by the world of shiluach haken, it points at the Gion HaMarsha quotes it. Gabi shiluach haken, it says tikach lecha and chazal ar doresh velo le kalbecha, that tikach lecha, we have a heter to eat a beitza, but to eat a beitza of an of tahar. V'lo le kalbecha, there's no heter to eat a beitza of an of tameh. You're not allowed to eat an eagle egg. Why? Because it's Avram and Achai. Namely, that until you have a gzeres hakasuv, it remains Avram and Achai. Even the eagle egg in the nest is considered to be Eiver Min Hachai. So again, in other words, whether you're learning out the Gzeres HaKosov that a Beitza has to be similar to Chol, it has to be Porish, or that Tikach Lecha, only a kosher egg is considered to be an egg, so we see that the definition of Eiver Min Hachai is a very all-extensive definition. We have an issue, a real issue, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, according to that Shita that the Shach quotes at the end. How can Goyim eat eggs of non-kosher birds? A Goy, one of his Shem Mitzvos Bnei Noach, is Avram and Achai. And what we're saying is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, a non-kosher egg remains Avram and Achai. We don't have a heter. So you should just know that this is a question which is asked by the Chasam Sofer. If you look back, those of you who have a Pisrei Tshuva in Siman Samach Beis, Siman Samach Beis is the Siman dealing with Avramai. Sif Katan Aleph. Siman Samach Beis, Sif Katan Aleph, in brackets, the Pischei Tshuva quotes a Tshuva Chasam Sofer, who asked the question, what's the heter, and leaves it the Tzarech Iyum. Okay, so this then is what the Shach points out, Lehalacha. However, even though the Mechaber Paskins, at the moment that you have the membrane before calcification, it is no longer basar, but both the Taz and the Shach quote a minhag. The Taz is in the end of Sifkatan Vav, and the Shach is the end of Sifkatan Yud, a minhag of Jewish women, that even if they find an egg which has been calcified, an egg with a shell inside of a chicken or a turkey that was shechted, they're going to view it as being bisari, as a minhag, not a mi'ikar hadin. In other words, that they'll put that into the chalent to be cooked in the chalent, because it's, in other words, it was found inside of a chicken. Okay, so it's not a halacha, but it's a minhag. Okay. So, calcification is the shell is calcium. So when the shell is made, that's called a process of calcification.
Is it similar to when it hardens?
Yeah, when the shell hardens. The shell. Yeah.
Do we hold that salt in the egg?
Excuse me?
Do you have to salt the egg?
There's no blood in the egg.
So if you shoot it at basar, you have to salt it.
You don't have to salt basar. You have to salt basar that has in it dam ivarim. As a minhag, but not again. Mitzad haminhag. It's all these are chumras. Mitzad haminhag, not meikar hadin.
Let's say it doesn't even have the chel.
Yes.
If it's not formed at all.
If it's not formed at all, so then it's part of the chicken. Yeah. It's a nachinami. So as part of the chicken, yes.
The Taz says that this minhag is the chatchila b'yavad, you could be mekon, and yeah. Shach says that this minhag is a chomer b'yama, and just wherever you are, you follow the minhag. So what's like halacha l'maisa? What's the minhag?
Halacha l'maisa. It's the minhag that in a time that you would check the chicken and find the eggs inside, you would eat those eggs in the chalet. Yes.
You also have a concern that you salt the eggs, they're not poly anything, so they're going to be belay and done.
If you salt them with meat,
yeah,
you have to salt them separately.
So
yes. Okay. This Seder. Sif Vav. Hamaushan. We're not learning because no one shucks chickens and no one salts them and no one does anything. Just whatever empire sells you. Okay. Sif Vav. Hamaushan v'hamavushal b'chamei Tveria ein lokin olav. Again, we want to define what is basar and what is chalav, and we need derech bishul. So we pointed out, kvisha and malicha are not derech bishul. Tzli, we saw machlokes achronim, tzli, whether that's derech bishul. What about ma'ushan and mevushal b'chamei tveria? So the Mechaber Paskins, ein lokin alav. Why does the Mechaber Paskin ein lokin alav? So the Be'er Hagola points out that this is the Rambam, v'hu ba'ya b'Yerushalmi d'darim, v'lo ifshita. That the Yerushalmi asked the question, doesn't come to an answer, so we say it's a suffix d'oraisa, it's asur v'ein lokin alav. Look in the Bir Hagra, Sifkatan Yud Gimel, he points out that there are two Yerushalmis. The Yerushalmi that the Be'er Hagola quoted, Yerushalmi perek vav d'nedarim, Rabbanan d'kisrin, Shal, and it's unclear whether Kisrin is Caesarea or Kisrin is Katsrin in the Golan. That's it's an issue that Professor Lieberman deals with. Rabbanan de Kisrin Shal, Ushan Mahu Shiyehebo Mishum Tafshile Shabbos, Mahu Shiyehebo Mishum Basar Bachalav, and doesn't answer. That's the Abaye de Lifshita. But Avoba Perik Zayin de Shabbos Sham, if you continue in the Yerushalmi from the Dorim to Shabbos, Hatzole, v'hametagen, v'hasholek, v'hamaashen, kuhu mishum mevashel. V'imken hu hadin liyin baser v'chalav. Prichadosh. In other words, that l'chora, we have two Yerushalmis. One of them has a suffix. The other one says, that it's a vaday iser the oraisa by Shabbos. So I heard once from Rav Zalman Nechemiah, when I learned Yeridea with him, that he wanted to say that there was no stira over here between the Yerushalmis. The Yerushalmis are asking two different questions, or dealing with two different issues. In terms of Hilchos Shabbos, what is the din of all of these pugot on Shabbos? So you look in the Yerushalmi in Shabbos. Hatzola, Hametagen, Hasholik, Hamaashen, Kula, Misha Mevashel. They're all considered to be under the world of Bishul in terms of Shabbos. They're all Aser Dorais in terms of Shabbos. However, what is the Yerushalmi in the Darim? The Yerushalmi in the Darim asks, Mahu Shiehe Mishum Tafshile Shabbos. What level of Iser do we have? Is this an Av or is this a Tolda? That this world of Ma'ushan, is it an Av or a Tolda? My nafkimin, if it's an Av or a Tolda, both of them are Midoraisa on Shabbos. Mahu Shiehe Bo Mishum Basa V'Chalav. Can it be transferred from Shabbos to Basa V'Chalav? If it's an Av in terms of Shabbos, then it would, Hu Hadin would be in terms of Basa V'Chalav. If it's a Tolda in terms of Shabbos, maybe that's a din in Shabbos, not necessarily a din in Basa V'Chalav. So then everything fits in very, very nicely. And that in other words, in Achanami, it's a suffix in the Yerushalmi, but it's not that we have a steerer within the Yerushalmi, that we have one Yerushalmi that says it's Vadai, and another Yerushalmi that has a suffix. The Yerushalmis go hand in hand. It's Vadai Chayav on Shabbos. The suffix is it an Av or a Tolda? And on that, the Nafkamina would be in terms of Basa B'Chalav, and that's why the Rambam Paskins, that it's Asur, Midoraisa, but, I mean, that it's Asur Vein Lokanavav, that it's unclear. It remains a Suffolk Midoraisa in terms of Basar B'Chalav.
But the Gra and the Prichadosh disagree with that.
The Prichadosh is quoted by the Gra.
Right, and the fact that
I don't know what the Gra himself holds.
He doesn't quote anything else.
So he quotes the sources.
He quotes the Prichadosh. And that's it, he doesn't quote anybody else.
Yeah.
Mashmo that he agrees with the Prichadosh.
You could say that. Okay, the said. Yes?
The smoking?
That there's a concept of it's called curing meat, that you put meat over a fire, you hang it in the air over the fire, and the smoke from the fire both heats the meat and gives it a certain flavor. And it's a form of cooking. But the question is this form of cooking also that which would create basar v'chalav?
What's the name of curing, you said?
Curing. C-U-R-I-N-G.
Wax is often smoke.
And smoked salmon.
Smoked salmon. Right.
It was a way of preserving food, too. They cooked, but it preserved.
It also preserved it, correct. Right. But it's a form of cooking. But the question is this form of cooking considered to be derech bishul asra Torah? So, let's continue. Then the Mechaber moves over to a different topic. Again, all of this is within the Rambam, but it's a different topic. V'chein. As opposed to Me'ushan and Mevusha B'chamei Tveria that are a suffix d'oraisa, Hamavashel Basar B'mei Chalav, O B'chalav Mesa, O B'chalav Zachar. All these three are Basar B'chalav Midrabanan. Okay? All these three are what he says at the end. Patur ve'en lokan achilaso mishum basar v'chalav. These are basar v'chalav d'rabanan. The common denominator is that they are not similar enough to chalev imo. The Torah says lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo, and so the moment it's mechalav, and again the mechalav is what we spoke about the ureim, the mechalav, or the chalav mesa. Or the Chalav Zohar, these are not the classic Chalav Imo, and therefore we have a din of that it's considered to be Basar V'Chalav Midrabanan. Since it's Basar V'Chalav Drabanan, the Rabbi Kiva Eger over here points out that we have to reinterpret the word Mevashel. Hamavashel basar b'mei chalav o b'chalav meisa o chalav zachar. We know that basar b'chalav drabanan, there's no iser of bishul. There's no Iser of Bishul, there's no Iser of Hana. It's like Basar Of B'chalav, which is Draban, it's Asar B'achila. But we already saw that the Shach already pointed out in Sivkatan Zayin in terms of Chalav Isha, or he'll get later on in terms of Beit Se'of in Sivkatan Yud Aleph, that the word Mevashel can also mean Och, eating, right? And so over here, that's l'chora what it means, okay? V'chein ha'ochel basar b'mei chalav. Oh, okay? In other words, mevashel b'mei chalav, and then you eat it. Oh, you're mevashel basar b'chalav mesa, and you eat it. Or you're mevashel basar b'chalav zachar, and you eat it. That's pater v'ein lochen al achilaso.
So, just going, mind defining, what is mei chalav? Is that like that second?
The second set of separation.
And then the chal of the mesa would be a woman who was lifter, and then she...
Well, we're talking about an animal.
This is all of an animal.
Okay. Right, we're talking about an animal. An animal that you take milk, animal milk, and you separate it twice, or you find animal milk in an udder. Okay? Or the third one is chal of zachar. Sometimes we have an issue of hormones, and you can have a male animal that will be giving you milk. Okay?
Different from a purple cow.
Yeah, it's purple bull. Doesn't happen often, right? But that's not chalev imo. That's the common denominator.
Never saw one in Brooklyn.
Okay, in Brooklyn, you have a paraduma. Okay, so. Okay, the Rabbi Kiva Eger over here also points out in Mavashel B'mei Chalav, if you look in the Gemara, you find various foods that were made with Mei Chalav. They used to, in other words, that this process of separation was not only done in a laboratory. The process of separation was done in the kitchen, because when you take that second sedimentation, then you make what's called Kamcha, that's the Gemara in Chul and Kuf Yudeis, Kutach, Gemara Chulin, Kufyud Aleph Amid Beis. These were ma'achalim that had within them mechalav, yes?
How did the Yireim understand those Gemaras?
How did the Yireim, yeah?
Some of the first stage of way.
That they would have, right. That's the question, the mechalav and the mechalav. Oh, correct, thank you. Okay, Rabbi Kiva Eger over here also raises the issue when we speak about chalav mesa. Chol of Mesa, we have a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch later on, siman Tzadi, that deals with the Kchal, that deals with the udder. But the question is that we have a Mesa which is a halachic Mesa when the animal is still alive. We have Pekua, we mentioned this last time, a Ben Pekua. If you shecht a mother cow and you come out with a calf, in the mother cow, that calf does not require shchita mida oraisa, because it's considered already shachut. So the question is, the chalav coming out of that calf, is that considered to be chalav mesa? Because al pidin, we're dealing over here with shachut. Or do we say that since this calf can also have a child, so it's chalev imo? In other words, that's an open question. On the other side, you have the world of chalav trefa. The trefa is quite well and alive, but it can't give birth, right? That a trefa is living, but a trefa, one of the characteristics of a trefa, that it can't be a mother. So exactly how do we define the world of chalav aim, that we have over here, this exception, chalav mesa, so that's Rabbi Kiva Eger Alatari, has a suffix about chalav of a bas pekua, a chalav of a trefa. The trefa, just there, Hagav, you should be aware, can become pregnant. It just can't give birth. And so we have a difference in terms of, we have a question how do you define an aim? An av is someone who can impregnate a woman. Namely, when a woman becomes pregnant, that uber has an av. The question is, does the uber yet have an aim? Or is that only created via birth? There's a Rashi by Esther Hamalka. It says, Asher Ein La Av Ve'em. So Rashi says that Esther's father died when Esther's mother was pregnant, and then Esther's mother died after she gave birth. So the Gemara Megillah says that is Medayik, that the moment Esther's mother was pregnant, Esther already had a father, and then he died. So Ein La Av, and he died when after he was a father, before she was born. But an aim, Yitachen, only after birth would she be considered to be an aim. Okay, that's an open question. Gemara Megillah and Daf Yud Gimel. Tov. Then the Mechaber and the Rambam, yes?
I feel like can I give birth? So how does the baby come out? I mean, it's sitting there, it's developing.
It dies. In other words, when the trefa dies, then the embryo also would die.
I'm saying if let's say 9 months, if it comes to 9 months of giving birth, or I don't know how long a cow is pregnant for, and then the baby has to come out, and if it doesn't come out, what happens?
We're saying that an animal which is a trefa will not give birth to a live calf. That's what Chazal assumed.
But it will come out dead, you're saying?
Not give birth to a live calf. Okay. It will not have a child, but it can become pregnant. Okay, so we have over here so far two topics in this Rambam, which is quoted by the Mechaber. Topic number one is where we have a suffix. A suffix d'oraisa on Me'ushan and Mevushach HaMetveria. Topic number two, we have a Vadai Drabanan. That's the Mechalav, Chalav Mesa, and Chalav Zachar. And topic number three is Bishel Dam B'chalav. Here clearly we have an Is, and the Rambam on this Paskin's Patur, Ve'en Lokin Arachilaso Mishum Basar B'chalav. Here we are saying that we have an Iser d'oraisa of eating Dam. But this Iser Daraisa has nothing to do with the world of Chalav, with Basar v'Chalav. That's the way the Shach al-Atar is Medayik, that you're not Goke on the Achila Mitzad Basar v'Chalav, but there would be Malkos Mitzad Dam. This is Dam Shebishlo. So the Shach points out, this is the Shita of the Rambam, that Dam Shebishlo is Midoraisa, and here we have a Nekudas HaKesef in which the Shach himself, anyways, the Shach points out, it's a footnote of the Shach on himself, that the Rambam has a partner, Rashi. Rashi and the Rambam both understand that Dam Shebishlo is the Oraisa, and the Shach points out that that fits very nicely into the Ze'iri, in the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Kaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, that the sugi over there is mashma, that only in chataot pnimiyot, only in those chataos that were brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, only there do we say that Dam Shebishlo is Drabanan, while the chataot achitzoniyot and chulin, which is important for us, Dam Shebishlo is Deoraisa. What is pointed out is Yitachen, and so we say that we have Rambam and Rashi against all other Rishonim. All other Rishonim hold that Dam Shebishlo is Midrabanan, and the Rambam and Rashi hold that Dam Shebishlo is Midoraisa. But Yitachen, that it may very well depend upon what Dam we are speaking about. The Rambam, when he speaks about Dam Shebishlo being aser midoraisa, is referring to the type of dam that you would pour on the mizbeach. Namely, you shecht an animal, dam comes out of the animal. That is deoraisa. That dam be'en, if you were to cook it, that is an iser deoraisa. Masha'en kein, when the Rishonim speak about dam shebishlo being drabanan, they're talking about you take a piece of meat, and you cook the piece of meat, and blood comes out of the piece of meat. That dam is midrabanan. Yitachen, the Rambam would also agree on that. Namely, yitachen that there is no machlokas between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. We're talking over here about two types of dam. Dam that be'en shebishlo, that's what the Rambam is talking about. That's where he says that's the oraisa. But the other Rishonim, they're talking about when you cook a piece of meat or you're maleach meat. Right? Melicha karoteach. that dam which comes out via malicha or comes out via bishul, that maybe even the Rambam would agree would be drabanan. Okay, but in any case, over here we're talking about bishul dam b'chalav, means you have dam b'en, you have a cup of blood that you got from shefting an animal, and now you cook that with chalav. That's over here lokin al achilaso, but not mitzad basar v'chalav. You're lokin mitzad the dam. Okay, what else do we have over here? Before we get to the Ramah, just one more point, and that let's just return for a minute to chalav mesa. We mentioned that chalav mesa is basar v'chalav midraban. It's asar v'achila. Chalav you would find it in udder. It's asar v'achila. It's muter v'bishul u b'hanoa. Yitachain that there's another kula which is very, 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 which would have a lot of practical application that I want to mention now. We're going to come to it in Siman Tzadi in terms of the source, but we're going to come to the application still in Siman Peizayim. That's why I want to mention it now. There is a Taz in Siman Tzadi. Siman Tzadi deals with Chalav Mesa, it deals with Chal. There's a Taz in Siman Tzadi, Sifkatan Yud Beis, that the Machaber over there says that if you take this Chalav Mesa, you take the Chalav from the Chal, we don't say on this Chalav, Kavush Kimavushal. We don't say on this Chalav, Kavush Kimavushal. Now, we said up to now that even though Bishul is d'oraisa, Kavush and Malicha are drabanan. So the Taz understands from the Ramah. The Taz quotes the Ramah that we don't say in the world of Chal, Kavush Kimavushal, that we have a rule that Ein Gozrin Gzeira Ligzeira. That when you have two drabanans in the world of Basar V'Chalav, we get to a heter. So if you start off with Chalav Shchuta, that's one drabanan. And then you add Kvisha, that's a second drabanan, you get to a heter. Rabbi Akiva Eger, over there in Siman Tzadi, on that Taz, says, just a minute, how can the Taz go against the Gemara? The Gemara says that if you have a bar gozla, if you have a small bird, shenafal lekimcha, that fell into mechalav, and you cook it, that it's aser. But a bird is besar oaf, that's drabana. And mechimcha is mechalav, that's drabana. So what Rabbi Kiveger points out very properly is that there are drabanans and there are drabanans. When we have, what the Taz meant was when you have two drabanans, one drabanan that relates to the cheftza, and one drabanan that relates to the maisa, one drabanan relates to the basar and the chalav, and the other drabanan relates to the world of bishul, to the tahalich, that combination gives you a heter. So when you have chalav shchut, that's in the realm of the cheftza, and kvisha, that's in the realm of the tahalich, the process, that gives you a heter. But when you have oaf and mechalav, they're both in the realm of the cheftza, that still remains asur. So we're going to see that we're going to be able to use this principle of the Taz, Rabbi Kiva Eger, in terms of the process of making cheese, that we're going to have an issue. Why isn't cheese an issue of basar v'chalav in terms of the way that it's made? Because you take milk and you mix into it rennet. Rennet is a yotzei min hatame. Rennet is from the stomach lining of a cow. Why isn't that basar v'chalav? So we're going to see that we're going to be dealing perhaps with a combination of drabanans. So we'll just hold off on that for a moment.
So drabanan by chefsa and one by talich. So then it's gonna maybe the day hatter.
Yeah.
But if it was,
if you have two drabanans, that the chalav is drabanan and the basar is drabanan, and you cook them together,
two chefsas
that will remain asar drabanan. But when you have one in terms of the cheftza and one in terms of the tahalich, in terms of the maisa, that will give you a heter.
What about if you had two maisa?
Also, that will still remain asur. Okay, let's move over to the Ramah. Rama says Cholav Zachar Lo Mikri Cholav Kla, and therefore im Nafal Latoch Kedera Shel Basar Eino Oser. Just a minute. Does that mean that the Rama is cholik on the Machaber? The Machaber quoted the Rambam that Cholav Zachar is Oser Drabanan. And here the Rama is saying Cholav Zachar is Muter Legamre. So the Shach explains that we're dealing with two different Zecharim, the Shach Sifkat on Tet Zayin. We have the issue of a Cholav that comes out of an animal, which is a Zachar. That's Drabanan. The Rama is talking about Cholav Zachar when you have a human being. When you have a male human being who has an issue of hormones, he's on steroids or whatever, he's taking a hormone, and that brings about the fact that this man begins to lactate. That already is twice removed. Namely, Cholav Isha itself is a Marisayim. Cholav Zachar, which is Bechal, not Matsui, there we're not, Chazal weren't gozer at all. Okay, that's what the Shach points out. Then the Machaber continues, Rama continues, avocholav mesa umecholav, osrin hama'achal kamo cholatzma, tov, that's on a drabanan plane, vafilu bebishul yesh le'esar l'chatchila. This, you understand, is a chumra b'yalma. The moment we're dealing with basa v'cholav drabanan, there should be no iser bishul at all. But here the Rama says, on the level of minhag, yesh le'esar l'chatchila. If you look at the end of the Rama points out on everything he's writing, ubidyevit ein lochush b'chol zeh, v'afrachatchila ein bazeh l'chumrus b'alma, v'make it lo hipsi. That statement at the end of the Rama has to put everything into context, okay? So Cholav Zachar, he says, is not even a minhag. On the Cholav Mesa and the Cholav, and the Mechalav, the Machab already said that midrabanan we have an Iser Achila, and we have a Chumra of an Iser Vishal, not Meikar Hadid, because this is the same Rama who said back in Sif Aleph, the moment we're dealing with the Drabanan, then it's Mutar B'Bishal Bahana. So this is simply one of the list of Chumras. How do we continue in the list of Chumras? So he quotes, Yesh Omrim, Do Osir Lachtota Eish Tachat HaKadeira Shalovet Kochavim, Lafi Shehem Mevashlin Bohem Pa'amim Cholav U'Pa'amim Basar, V'amachate tachas ha-kedera she'olahem boli de bishul basar b'cholav. That if you have a pot, in other words, there's a fire. Let's say you go to an inn, and there's a fireplace. And people begin to put their pots into the fireplace. The fireplace was meant to heat you up, right? People begin to put their pots in to also heat up their food. So the moment that a goy puts his food into the fireplace, you, as a Jew, should not add firewood, should not be machate, should not be the one who is stoking the coals, because that could be that you're being mevashel basar b'chalav. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger over here asked, what's the issue? Isn't it a davar sheino miskaven? Maybe yes, maybe no. Right? You don't know what's in the goy's pot. Maybe the goy is cooking basar b'chalav. Maybe he's not cooking nevela. Or trefa. That's not aser b'bishul. In other words, so it should be, yourself, your purpose of stoking is to get more heat into the room. Right? You want to help heat the room. The goy put his pot there. So the question is this a psik reisha? So the Rebbe Akiva Eiger asks, it's a davar she'eno miskaven. And then Rebbe Akiva Eiger continues, and he points out, V'koshali ha'eno miskavin levaster rak lachtos ha'esh u'psik reisha lo havei shema lo bisho v'kovim b'kedera basar v'gam chalav. But Tzarech Lomar Kivir says, no. This will bring us back to Hilchos Shabbos. I know we're not learning now Hilchos Shabbos, but we have to know Hilchos Shabbos. So in Hilchos Shabbos, we have a famous taz that the oilam is cholik on, okay? In Siman Shin Tet Zayin, the dealing over there with the world of Tzeda. So the Taz says, so the Mecha, I'm sorry, just see it inside. In Siman Shin Tet Zayin, Se'if Gimel, the Rama says that Yeshli Zoher Shelo Liskar Teva Katana Dehave Be Olistom Kelim She Zvuvimbo Be Shabbos Dehave Psik Resha She Yatsudusham. That if you're in an area where there are a lot of flies, so you shouldn't close a container, because maybe, even though your purpose is to close the container, you want to close the closet. You shouldn't close the closet because maybe there are flies that you're trapping in the closet. That's not your intention, but we have a psikresha. There are many, many flies that are in that area, and so we can assume there are flies in the closet, and even though that's not your intention, it's a psikresha, that you're closing the flies into the closet. So the Bir Halacha Alatar quotes a Taz. Hataz Chidesh Kandavar Chadosh Be'inyan Psikresha. That the Taz says that if you're not sure if there are flies in the closet, then you're allowed to close it. Because that's already Davar Shena Miskave. When you know there are flies in the closet, that's a Psikresha. If you're not sure if there are flies in the closet, then it's a Davar Shena Miskave. And everyone shouts at the Taz. The Taz is confusing two matters. The whole world of Psikresha or Darvashenu Miskavin, that whole Nafgamina, is Lehaba. What's going to be the result of your action in terms of the future? If you drag a heavy couch on the ground, that's a Psikresha, you're going to be making a furrow, you're going to be Choresh. If you're dragging a chair on the ground, that's a Darvashenu Miskavin. Maybe you will make a furrow, maybe you won't. So if you ask, am I allowed to drag the chair? The answer is yes. You're allowed to because you're not sure what's going to be the result of your action in the future. However, if your question is not what will be, but what is, in other words, I'm not sure if there are flies in this cabinet or not. Can I close it? The answer should be, that's a suffix. I mean, assuming that a fly is something that's mino nitzod, that's a suffix d'oraisa, right? That if there are flies, you're over nisr d'oraisa. If there aren't flies, that's a nisr d'rabbanon. That's, in other words, psik reisha l'sha'avar is a din of suffix. So if it's a world of d'rabbanon, like really flies are aimen mino nitzod, so then suffix d'rabbanon l'kula. If we would be dealing with something that normally are tzad, then it would be suffix d'oraisa l'chumra. Has nothing to do with the world of davar sheino miskaveh. So over here, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, what's in the goy's pot is in the goy's pot. You just don't know what's in the goy's pot. That's not a question of davar sheino miskaveh or psik reisha. That's a suffix psik reisha l'sha'avar. And if it's basar v'chalav, it's a suffix d'oraisa. So suffix d'oraisa l'chumra. So Rabbi Kibeger says that even though, so we have this machlokes between the Taz and the rest of the world. So the Mishnah Berurah says that even though the rest of the world is cholik on the Taz, he found a makor for the Taz in the Rishonim. That there's a Ramban in his Chidushim on Shabbos that deals with the world of Mecham Shepinahu. The Gemara says that if you have a kettle, and you pour, it's all empty. And now the question is, can you pour cold water into that kettle? So we say that as long as there's enough cold water that you pour in, that water will not hit Yad Soledet Bo, because of the quantity of the water, it's mutter. You're allowed to pour cold water into a kettle as long as it's not going to, the water won't get Yad Soledet Bo. So the Ramban asks, or the Gemara asks, I'm sorry, maybe you're mitzareif the kli. Maybe, in other words, we have a principle in chemistry or physics, that when you pour cold water into a hot metal, it tempers the metal. It makes it harder. It's like, and that's on Shabbos, that would be considered to be an iser d'oraisa. So even though that's not your intention, maybe it should be an issue. So the Ramban says, no, maybe this kli was already mitzuraf. Maybe the kli was already mitzuraf. But that's again a psik reisha l'sha'avar. Maybe yes, maybe no. Isn't that a suffix d'oraisa? And yet the Ramban says that would allow it. So you see that the Ramban is similar to the Taz, that he views even a psikreisha l'sha'avar as a realm in which you have a heter of davar she'eino miskaveg. Machlokes Rishonim. Rabbi Kivega says, why am I telling you all of this? Because if you would have been a traveler in the 1700s, in the time of Rabbi Kiva Eger, you could not follow the advice of the Ramah. Namely, that every traveler had his turn at stoking the fire. That would be an assumption, that if you come to an inn and you want to stay overnight in that inn, you have to have your turn of stoking the fire. You can't say, well, that goy put a pot in the fire, I'm not going to stoke the fire. But then what are you going to do? So you have to be somech on the taz that we have a heter of davar she'eino miskaveg, even though it, l'chora, it's a psikreisha l'sha'avar. What? It's machlokes between the taz and the other rishonim, and taz and the ramban and other rishonim. The taz and the ramban say that even a psikreisha l'sha'avar, we have a heter of davar she'eino miskaveg. The Mishnah Berurah himself holds that it's a safek d'oraisa. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that, in other words, if you look into what he says, I'm quoting this Taz, because otherwise, Kimat Efshar Lahazir Ha'Ovrei Derachim. It's almost, Katafti Zeh Shalol Hiyota Yisr Chamur, Ki Kimat Efshar Lahazir Ha'Ovrei Derachim. I'm bringing in the Taz, because the alternative would be very difficult for a Jew to live with.
Yeah, yes. The Lashon of the Ramah is that lefishim v'bashim ben pa'amim chalav pa'amim basar. Doesn't sound like there's actually basal in there now, because
right.
That we would know about for sure. It's just a question about bleos or something. Sometimes it cooks chalav, sometimes it cooks basar.
Okay, so now our fear is that you would be cooked, that the goy would be cooking basar in a pot which was still ben yama of chalav.
Okay. I have another question.
So then he continues. That you don't understand your questions. Rabbi Kiva Eger is mayor. V'gam yesh lodin stam kli shel nachrim einam b'nei yaman v'lo havei b'chal bishul basar v'chalav. But then he wants to bring that into a machlokas. Okay, in other words, these are the issues he brings up. Because it appears from the context of the Ramah, yeshrim do'asar lachtos, that all of these are chumras bi'alma. Why is it a chumra bi'alma? So it'd be a chumra bi'alma because of the principle of davar she'eino miskaveg, perhaps stam kelim v'goy eino ben yaman, but you have to find, but all of these are totally in various machlokot of rishonim and achronim. Okay, so that you should just be aware of the issue that we're dealing with over here. What other chumra bi'alma do we have? Od kosvu. The ein la'arev mayim shehidichu bahem basar, klei basar, you shouldn't take milchic water and fleshic water and mix them together to give to your animal to drink. Okay? So, l'chora, the Shach points out, he must be dealing with the fact that this water is hot, right? That it would be derech bishul, that you are connecting these two waters. But then, if it's hot, so who cares about the animal drinking it? Aren't you being over an Iser of Bishul, Basar, V'chalav by mixing them together? It appears the only issue over here is one of Hana'ah. Don't mix the hot milchic water with the hot fleshic water, because you're going to get to a situation where this water will be Asar B'Hana'ah. But who cares about the Hana'ah? Why isn't it Asar to mix them in the first place? So that's Rabbi Kiva Eger's question. Rabbi Kiva Eger is very, very powerful in this Siman. And he answers that maybe we're dealing with a situation where you have shishim. And we learned out a new principle, that when you have shishim, then we learned in Hilchos Ta'aroves, where there is a problem of ein mevatran isur l'chatchila. That would apply to achila and hana'ah. It would not apply to bishul. Okay? In other words, that once you have shishim, there's no problem of bishul. But there would still be a problem of Eim Evat HaNisur Chatchila that would bring you to an Iser Hana'ah. And then you would understand why over here the Ramah says that this is all a Chumra Alma, right? And you could simply say, maybe we're dealing over here with cold, and it's a Chumra Ba'alma, that, you know, it's that you shouldn't be goring Basar V'Chalav in cold, etc. Okay, in any case, all of these are simply He'oros in terms of the nature of the dinim of the Ramah. Then the Ramah gives a third chumrah, another chumrah. Okay, what's another chumrah? Od kosvu, the hakli she'osin bo mayim l'chafifas harosh, ein l'shamish bo. That there was a kli that they used to make shampoo with, and that you shouldn't use for any, you know, it's for drinking, you know, for making food with it. Why? The osin osame efer shal hakira, that the shampoo was made from ashes, and the ashes regilas hu his arev sham basar v'chalav. The ashes are from your stove, and in your stove the ashes sometimes come from basar, and sometimes comes from chalav, and now you're cooking all of this up together to make shampoo, and so this kli is really going to be an issue of basar v'chalav. So again, we have to deal with that which we've already seen in the past. What bichlal is the issue? We're talking about ashes. Ashes, if we look down the line in Siman Sadi Hei Sif Dalet, if you look together with me, that already is a Mar Makom in Hilchos Basar V'Chalav, Siman Sadi Hei Sif Dalet, the Machaber gives an Eitza that there shouldn't be Basar V'Chalav. Yeiro Eli, Yimnasno Efer B'mayim Chayip Chamin, Shebiyore, Kodem Shehinichu HaKederos B'Socha, Afopi Shashuman Dabuk Behen, Mutar, Ayadei HaEfer, who knows Ein Tam Lefga. If you want to wash dishes in a sink, and you have milchik dishes and fleishik dishes, and you want to wash them together in hot water, the Machaber is an Eitza for you. Put Efer into the water, and then wash your dishes. That the Efer will turn whatever Basar V'Chalav is being created into Nos Ein Tam Lefgam. Then it won't allow you to create Basar V'Chalav. The Efer is a Dover HaPogim. So Al Atar on this, but we're moving back to Siman Pei Zayin, the Gilyan HaMarsha says, Od kosfu osin oso me efer ayen ta siman tzadi heisiv katan tet zayin liyak no uvetirei tzedek v'tshuvas temech tzedek kosav liyashik, that the taz in siman tzadi heisiv katan tezvav asks that we have a stira, that in siman pei zayin it appears that when you take efer of basar and efer and chalav and cook them together, you get basar v'chalav. It's not no same time with God. And yet in Siman Sadi Hey, the Mechaber says that Efer does turn things into Basar V'Chalav. So is Efer a pogain or it's not? So the Taz says, L'chor, that's a Machokas Mechaber and Ramah. The Ramah Bayas says that Efer is not pogain, and the Mechaber later on in Siman Sadi Hey says that Efer is pogain. Nafgamina would be, if you wanted to use soap that was built on the basis of shampoo, you wanted to use soap that was made out of Efer, could you use that soap to wash milchik and fleishik dishes together? Is this an issue of basar v'chalav, or is it no sein tam lifgam? It appears over here that the Ramah is machmir and the Machaber was mekel. So if you'll recall, our Ramah over here in Siman Pei Zayin was the source of the Plesi. The Plesi wanted to say that even though in Siman Kuf Gimel that there's a din of Nosein Tam Lefgam, that's by Shari Surim. But since Basar V'Chalav is Min HaNikvarim, right, that even the ashes of Basar V'Chalav are Osir, Kaner Eden, in Basar V'Chalav there is no din of, there's no heter of Nosein Tam Lifga.
And this can't be a chumrah ba'alma.
What?
And it can't be a chumrah ba'alma.
Not ba'alma, right. So the it could be, theoretically, but the place he understood that there's no heter of no sein tam lifgam in basar v'chalav, and then, of course, there would be no stira, that the place he is talking about once it's already basar v'chalav. Namely, what happens was, these ashes, what happened was that you had milk that overspilled in your oven and meat spilled in your oven and they mixed together and then they were turned into ashes. There, we can, according to the Plesi, we can have a chumrah, that this basar v'chalav will remain. But in Siman Sadi Hey, we're talking about creating basar v'chalav. You can't create basar v'chalav with ta'amim pegumim. That's one way of answering that there's no stira, if we go in the direction of the placi. However, if you don't want to go in that direction, we saw that there's no really need to go in that direction, so the Gilin HaMaharsha gives another direction. And this is also found in the parentheses in the Ber Heitev at the end of Sifkatan Yud Ches. And this over here is what Yonatan is mentioning, that the Iker Hadin is what we find in Siman Sadi Hey, that Afer is no Sein Tam Lefgam. And here the Ramah is being Machmir L'chatchila. Why should be Machmir L'chatchila? Because in general, in no Sein Tam Lefgam, we're Machmir L'chatchila. If you have a pot that became treif, and you wait 24 hours, you shouldn't use that pot to cook in. If you use it, then there's no Iser. But L'chatchila, you shouldn't use it. Namely, no Sein Tam Lefgam is that which remains aser lechatchila, and then everything fits in. Okay, why? In other words, if you ask on the placey, how could he be medayik when he's medayik? Isn't this only a chumrah? So the chumrah, according to the placey, is we don't know what these ashes are made out of. Sometimes they may be pure basar, sometimes pure chalav, sometimes it may be basar v'chalav. Since we don't know, so again we're back to the davar sheino miskaven. In other words, we're not sure what it's made of. That's where you move over into the world of chumrah. Yeah?
According to that last answer, still according to the Ramah, chumrah, you shouldn't use soap that has afer in it.
If the afer may come from the combination of basar v'chalav.
Only if it's a combination of basar v'chalav?
Only the... Again, you can't create basar v'chalav with a nosein tam lefgam, even according to the placey. It's only once something is basar v'chalav.
No, we have an assumption that this is only l'chatchila, and the Machmir in Sadi Hey is not. So then the Ramah is being more Machmir on top of the Machmir. The Machmir says it's okay to put Afer in, even though Basar B'chalav might come here because it's no Sein Tam Lefgam, and the Ramah is simply being...
The Machmir is telling us that Afer will prevent Basar B'chalav from being created. The Ramah over here says once Basar B'chalav is created, then the Afer is Asar. Okay? But we're not sure if Basar B'chalav was created. That's why it's l'chatchila. But then the question is, but how can you use the shampoo? In other words, the Ramah only says you can't use the kli the shampoo was made in for cooking, for drinking. But how do you use the shampoo? Aren't you getting hana'a from basar v'chalav? So here the Shach gives us a very, very powerful lesson in Sifkatan Chaf. V'hadlo mitzar mehay taima l'chafifas harosh. Hare nehne mishum delirchot rosho eino davar shel achila lochashiv hanoa kevon sheino nehne miguf haisur kamoshi isbar lekaman besimon tzadidale. That the distinguishes between two types of basar v'chalav. When you have basar v'chalav, which is a goof of basar v'chalav, a cheeseburger. A cheeseburger is basar v'chalav, right? A goof of basar v'chalav. That you can't be nehene, be it derech achila, or even if it's not derech achila. You can't use a cheeseburger to, let's say a cheeseburger would, I'm trying to think of what you could use it for.
Smelling it.
What? Smelling, we have to deal with, if smelling is usher, right? Mm-hmm. We pointed out, that's a question back in... Right. And Siman Kuf in Kuf Ches.
No, Hana, that's Hana. That'd be Aser off the bat.
It's Aser Bahana, even not a Hana of eating.
Right.
However, when we're dealing with Ta'am Basar V'chalav, which is what's in the shampoo, you don't have the ashes. You cook the ashes and you have a liquid. And that liquid is going to be your shampoo. It has Ta'am Basar V'chalav. Ta'am Basar V'chalav is only Aser Be'achila and a Hana of Achila. To feed it, to give it to your cow to eat, that would be usr. That's the hana we're talking about. But to use it as a shampoo, it's not a problem. In other words, if you have, let's say, a kli that was balea basar v'chalav, you could use that kli to put apples in, simply as a storage bin. In other words, the Iser of Hana'a, of a Tama Basar V'Chalav, is only an Iser of eating. Yes, exactly, 100%. Very, very good. Took the words out of my mouth. Okay, then the Ramah concludes on all of these matters. L'chein yesh le'esor gam ken l'shtamish min ha'kedero shel ha'tanurim she'bei sachor v'inshom sh'nitozem alei mefamim v'sar v'chalav min ha'kedero ch'mevashlim ba'tanurim. But since it's only maybe, v'di'evet in l'chosh b'chol zeh. Af l'chatchila in bozeh l'chumros bi'alma v'hamekel lo hifsid. So the Shach points out over here, in Sivkatan Kafal Fayen Toras Chatos, Mashma de Bekdero Shalmatechet Ein Lahachmir Afilu Chatchila, Mishum Afim Hayanitas, Hayachozer Umitlaben Ayadei Ha'esh. This is very important in terms of our own kitchens. That you have, let's say, a grate on your stovetop, and sometimes you'll have that you'll have spillage from basar on that grate, and sometimes you'll have spillage from chalav on that grate. So our minhag is that you can use the same grate for kelim of basar and kelim of chalav, because whatever went into the grate will be mitraben, will be burnt up. Or your, in other words, that's the nature of the grate. It's right over the fire. And even though we have two types of libun, there's libun kal and libun chamur, since we're dealing with the world of hetera bala, since all you have over here is either basar or chalav, for that you only require libun kal. When you're dealing with, you have an iser of nevela or treifa, to get that out, you require libun chamur. It has to reach like a blowtorch, it has to change color. But when we're dealing with a blia of heter, basar or chalav, then it's enough to have a libun kal, that if you were to touch a stick to it, it would begin to smolder. That heat the grape gets to. So over here, this shach is the heter of using grapes for basar v'chalav, because in between the two of them is certainly you're going to have libun kal. Okay? Tov. Okay, if you can bring with you the sheet of paper, we'll stop over here. If you can bring with you the sheet that I gave out today, or you want to return it to me, but otherwise bring it with you when we come next time. So next time we'll deal with the two issues that are dealt with on that sheet. One is the status of bones, the atzamos that are dealt with in Sif Chet, in Sif Zayin, I'm sorry, atzamos. And we'll move over to the world of Cholav HaNimtza Bekeva in Siftet. Where exactly did this Cholav come from into the terms of the Keva? So you have over here on one side a tshuva of Rabbi Mann in terms of chalant with bones. And on the other side you have from this book Chulin Illuminated, I think it's in the Beis Medrash, in terms of a Pilei HaTeva, in terms of a certain tube, which is a channel of flesh, which is found in the structure of a cow, of all behemos ksheros. What is the function of this particular tube? Amish tili hateva, to understand cholav hanimtza bekeva. Okay, that we'll get to when we get to it. Beseder. Okay, so we'll start next time with Sif Zayin, Tet, and move over into the